and if anything, is a very short little bit of peace and satisfaction. The Proverbs describes it as sin is sweet for a season, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And so the aftertaste of sin is always bitter, but here is real satisfaction. So they're unsatisfied. They are not satisfied with the world. And that's a major issue. They have tried what Jeremiah called the broken cisterns, the things of this world that are tempting and tantalizing and lure people into their pathways. And they have been to the pleasure places. They have tasted what worldly living and worldly ungodly practices do. And maybe they've gone to the quacks and the phonies and the remedies of the world. The world, of course, has many advertised healing sessions for unhappy people, but all of them are empty.
Thank you for joining with us here on the program today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you're hungry today for God's Word, because I'm going to preach on the Beatitude. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." And we all know what it's like to feed a child or a baby when the child is hungry. What a joy just to feed the bottle, see that milk get gulped down. And the Lord says similarly to us, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, not for earthly food and sensual pleasure, but for righteousness." Righteousness, the very thing that God demands, that we be right with him and ready for heaven. Now let me read to you Matthew chapter 5 and these opening verses. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So, as I say, I hope that you're hungry today and hungry for God's word, that this word might fill your heart and that there will be a blessing in store for you. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that's certainly my prayer today, that your own heart will be filled with joy and gladness as you listen to his word today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale.
Matthew 5, verse 6 is the Beatitude we're looking at this evening. And we come to what probably is the famous one of all, where we read, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." I said to someone today, I don't know how I'm going to preach that, because after the meal that I had after church this morning, well, I am anything but hungry. And I'm not thirsting. I have had lots to drink. So I can't say that I am hungry or thirsty. But of course, we know that the Lord is not speaking about the physical, but rather on the spiritual. The word beatitude, by the way, is not a Bible word. You could search that and you'll not find the word beatitude in the Bible. And it comes from these series of blesseds and various other places in the Bible. Psalm 1 would be another one. Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. And, of course, it appears in many places. But beatitude really is a Latin word which means supremely happy. Supremely happy. This is utopia. This is the person now has been brought in to a blessed state and is rejoicing in all the wonders of God's provision. Now, these beatitudes, of course, express and characterize the converted man or woman, the one who had received the miracle of the new birth. They are born of the Spirit. And right down through the ages of time, God's people have been referred to as a blessed people. And indeed we are. And it's my job tonight to preach you all the blessings that God has in store for his own people. Now, we have noted that these beatitudes are paradoxes. Hunger is not fun. Thirst is not fun. And it seems strange that those who hunger and thirst are the people that are blessed. But of course, you have to take in the whole context. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And this is not feeding the body. This is feeding and nurturing the soul. It is the inner secret spiritual life of the Christian. I think of great texts which the Lord Jesus gave like this, which I must say as a young Christian puzzled me. And how could you understand this? That he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, there is such a spring on the inside, such an inner supply, that it's like a river flowing within your own life. And it is a tremendous description of what the Christian life is like. Now, it is not to seek happiness for its own sake. This is not the man who says, well, I'm going to run after happiness. I'm going to do whatever it takes to receive happiness. But rather, it is the person who goes after righteousness and who learns well the lesson that to be holy is happy. And only as we are conformed into the image of God and into the will of God and into the like thinking with God can we really live a life of peace and sweetness of fellowship. Our Lord Jesus taught, therefore, that happiness is a byproduct of seeking spiritual things. So I trust the church tonight for you will be the happiest experience of your life. I know the world thinks, of course, that we're just a group of killjoys. There's no real blessedness, no happiness in our lives. We're just a bunch of sour living people. We don't enjoy anything. Well, they're so wrong. And they have totally got it wrong. But then, of course, we thought that way too at a point. And it's not until you have your own heart renewed that you can understand this, because this is spiritual things. And it's when we are living and seeking God's glory that we really enjoy him. And the Shorter Catechism got it right. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him. And that is the thing that we should be seeking after. And so this beatitude really shows us the way of making men happy. And I've got to think of myself tonight as a pastor, a preacher, whose task it is to lead people into the happiest state possible this side of heaven and prepare them for heaven. And what a great work it is. This is greater than Disney. This is greater than Hollywood. This is greater than all the entertainment notions of the world, because here is real blessedness. Living the Christian life, hungering, thirsting after righteousness. And the promise is, notice the promise here. We are told here that they shall be filled. They shall be filled. And so there is satisfaction in the Christian life. There's a satisfaction the world cannot give. And we're entering into that. And we've got to seek it. We've got to pray for it. And we've got to yearn that God works this within our own lives. Now, I hope you're interested tonight. It'll be a very difficult meeting for you if you're not interested in righteousness and thereby being brought into that true blessedness which comes from living right with God. That's what righteousness really means, living right with God. So the first thing I want us to do tonight and ask this question, who are these people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? We have to identify these people. How shall we know them? What do they look like? If you met such a person, how would you identify that person? Who are they and what kind of things do they do? Well, the first thing that you'll notice here is that they are the people who are not satisfied in themselves nor the world. They're unsatisfied. Hunger and thirst tells you that they're not satisfied. And we know what a horrible thing, certainly thirst is. It is so agonizing. You can't go on. You can't think. You can't concentrate. And then hunger. My, you get to the point of the day that you've had no food, that you just can't function. And your whole system becomes weak and you're unsatisfied. Your whole body is weakened because of the lack of food. And so here is a people who have no peace and no satisfaction. Now, there is a kind of peace, of course, that comes from hell. There's a peace that the devil would love to give people by leading them on in ungodliness. But it's a lie. It's a deception. And if anything, it's a very short little bit of peace and satisfaction. The Proverbs describes it as sin is sweet for a season, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And so the aftertaste of sin is always bitter. But here is real satisfaction. So they're unsatisfied. They are not satisfied with the world. And that's a major issue. They have tried what Jeremiah called the broken cisterns, the things of this world that are tempting and tantalizing and lure people into their pathways. And they have been to the pleasure places. They've tasted what worldly living and worldly ungodly practices do. And maybe they've gone to the quacks and the phonies and the remedies of the world. The world, of course, has many advertised healing sessions for unhappy people. But all of them are empty. And people come to an end of themselves and they can say that I've tried the broken cisterns, but the waters field. And so these people, they are not satisfied. They're not satisfied with the great advertised things of this world. They're not satisfied with worldliness, entertainment, materialism, prosperity, all of those things. And then they're not satisfied with themselves. And that becomes a very emptying experience. Because these people want righteousness. And they look into themselves and they see nothing but sin. Now, I have to preach this one because really it's the following after those people who have been poor in spirit, they have been mourning, and those that are meek or humble. And then they look at themselves and they're not satisfied. They are the last people to stand up and say, I'm going to get to heaven by my own righteousness. These are people who have maybe tried that or thought about that, and they've thought it through, and they've been brought to the point that all their good efforts are a sham and empty, and they wouldn't even begin to think that they're good enough for heaven. And certainly the Spirit of God has shown them enough of their own sin and their own inside nature that they wouldn't even begin to boast in that. And so they begin to see that they need a righteousness which is perfect, another's righteousness, and they hunger and thirst, they desire after that with all their heart. And then they've begun to crave after God's righteousness, and they hunger and thirst after the knowledge of God and peace with God. And we read Psalm 63, And there you have the psalmist, and he is panting and thirsting after the knowledge of God. Now, there are three psalms that stand out on this. Easy to remember, Psalm 42, 63, and 84. And those who like math, you'll notice that they're just 21 apart. So 42, add 21, you get 63, and another 21 brings you to 84. And that's how I remember these three psalms. And they're all about thirsting. They're all about thirsting. And if you go to the Psalm 42, firstly, you will see this deep-seated craving in the heart of the psalmist, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Now, this is what we would call the deer. And it's running, and it's in the heat, and it's exhausted, and it's looking for water. And just like that animal, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. This is now a description of the converted person, the one who's born again, the one who is shown their own emptiness, and there is within a thirsting. And verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And he talks about my tears. This is deep-seated stuff. This is not on the surface. This is something that affects the whole man from head to toe. His whole being is craving to know God. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And this is the longing, the yearning of the heart. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So you can see that this affects the person greatly. And this, and surely in keeping with what our Lord Jesus taught, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if you read the Psalms and read them carefully, that they begin with this quest, thirsting for God, and they end with satisfaction. They end with wonderful satisfaction. Let's just try out the Psalm 42 and verse 10 and 11. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And so there is this going down into the valley of longing and craving, and then there's the climbing up out of that valley into the height of enjoyment of God. And you'll notice that over and over in so many of the experiences of the psalmist in this book of the Psalms. Now let's go to Psalm 84. We have already read Psalm 63, Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now let's do the little test. Does this psalm start and end with the quest and end with the praise or the satisfaction? Well, let's read verse 11 and 12. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now, I want you to see here that every blessed man, every man who comes to this soul satisfaction, has firstly experienced the thirst and the hungering. And it is by that causing of thirst and hungering that God, by his grace, pours in life to feed the hungry soul. And of course, the Lord feeds the hungry soul with his word. And there's not a hungry soul that comes to God that will be turned away. Let me read to you just one or two verses here. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 109:7, verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul. And so who are these people? We're trying to answer and identify who these people are. Well, they are those who have recognized the vanity of the world, the emptiness of the world, the emptiness of themselves and their own self-righteousness, and they begin to cry out for the grace of God. And God gives it. God gives it. In Lamentation it says, His compassions fail not, and the Lord ministers to the hungry soul and the thirsting soul. And if you're thirsting and hungering tonight, the Lord has a portion for you. Surely our greatest problem is that so often we don't thirst and we don't hunger. And this is a great problem for the church. It's a great problem for the whole ministry of the gospel. Where are the men and women that thirst after God? Oh, there are many that want entertainment. But where are the people that thirst and yearn and hunger for the Lord? Now, we must move on a little. God's way of making men happy is to make them enjoy Christ's righteousness. This is really a gospel answer here. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this righteousness is certainly key. Now on down in chapter 5 in the book of Matthew here, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 20, the Lord Jesus set up the standard. And he said, For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. So this is an amazing standard of righteousness, of holiness, of right living. Who can possibly meet that standard? The Pharisees, they failed utterly. They came very far short of it. Although they were always talking about the law and their own exercises and discipline and so on, yet they were very far from God's mark and God's standard. There's only one man, of course, who was perfectly righteous. And if this was a gospel meeting and I was preaching to unconverted people here tonight, I would lay out the whole life of the Lord Jesus. His miraculous birth, incarnation, sinless birth, sinless nature, the supernatural life that he lived, those who accused him of sin but could find none, those that would judge him but found no fault in him. The whole life of our Lord Jesus was a life of perfect right living, by which he provides for us a blessed, a wonderful, heavenly righteousness. And this becomes now the gospel, that God in his goodness sent his Son to provide a righteousness for us. And we are made to see by the Spirit of God our own failure, our own emptiness, that we could never meet God's standard. We fall short. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then God says to us, here's the way. Look at the life of my Son. Look at his life. Look at his right living. And by faith you may receive that righteousness that Jesus wrought and provided by his perfect life. And you go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, 5, you have the examples of Abraham, who found righteousness by faith alone. But God had to make him thirst and hunger for it. And we know God's dealings with Abraham and how he made him to see his emptiness and his need. And God gave him the provision of a son, of a savior. And out of his seed would come forth the Messiah. And then David as well. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. And in Romans chapter 4, David is held up as a great example of one who has received the righteousness that is by faith alone. Oh, that God would make men in this country of Canada hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And we could preach this great gospel to them. Or people here in Cloverdale. Our challenge is to reach the people around us. But they need to be made thirsty and hungry. We may invite and we may call them in, but it's so often as with that dinner or that festivity that was provided, they went out into the highways and the byways and they wouldn't come in. There's no hunger and no thirst. And then in our own congregation, where's the thirsting and the hungering after God, after this righteousness? And of course, we must preach this gospel to our own people. Those who come to any one of our meetings through the week, we must preach this provided righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And oh, what a happy day when we hear men, women, and young people saying, I must have that. That's what I need. My heart is not satisfied. The world doesn't bring me peace. And I've tried this and that, and I am empty and frustrated, and my soul is parched. You mean to say that Christ can meet every need of my heart? Yes, that's the good news of the gospel. And we must present to them the wonderful provision of God that He has made for all men.
It is important that we understand that the gospel is the gospel of God's righteousness, that is, His own holy character upheld, men saved from their guilty condition, their hell-bound condition, by a gospel that is filled with righteousness. God did not abandon His righteousness in His program to save His people. But rather, He, through the death of the Lord Jesus, gave us a provided righteousness. The life that Christ lived, the atoning blood that He shed, the sacrifice that He offered on the cross, was all a perfect payment for righteousness to satisfy the righteousness of God for all time and to bestow a wonderful, perfect righteousness upon God's people. This is what makes us so excited about the gospel, and we rejoice in God's provision.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.